This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
Well, we've done week two. We're wrapped up. We're on to it. We know a lot more this week than we did last week about a lot of teams. But a rough week in some ways for Central Virginia with just five teams picking up wins.
Yeah, you look at the sort of the scoreboard there, and you know some local on local stuff. So you're going to have some casualties there. You know, Stab playing Covenant, Goochland playing Fork Union. So you know you're going to have local squads lose because they're all lined up against each other. But a lot of debuts for some teams that didn't play in week one. You know, big debut over at Orange and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Five winners, a couple heavy L's, you know, some point spreads there that are not so great. But, you know, get some other teams that bounce back really well. Like Buckingham took their licks in week one, and then they posted 27-0 shutout in week two. So we had some teams that, you know, had some struggles from week one, and those continued into week two. We had some teams bounce back. When some teams take a week off, like Monticello, we had...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little
smorgasbord.
Yeah, we had some games that didn't even get finished in Woodbury.
But let's start. C&G Paving, road grader of the week, and you got a guy out of Goochland that you said really caught your eye.
Yeah, you do a little double check on the roster every once in a while when you see a big dude just mauling somebody. Jacob Massey throwing his weight around. And that's a really good offensive line that's Alex Fruth at the beginning of the year sort of talked about how tight they are as a unit, just sort of chemistry-wise. And it's sort of a smorgasbord of big dudes that they have to pick from. You know, sort of like a all-you-can-eat buffet over at Goochland. Connor Duncan, Tyler May. Tyler May is another really good one. Justin Hawk, Ethan Ford. But Jacob Massey, you got to like the way that Goochland bounced back offensively after a really slow first week against Thomas Jefferson. And really sort of a first quarter just took a lot of grinding. You know, they're using Devin McCray on the outside and Quincy Snead on the outside, and they're just not breaking loose quite yet. And then along comes sort of this offensive line making big holes in the middle, and Connor Papalars, not a name that Fruth to, you know, who he admitted, not the name he expected to be talking about after that game. Great game for him, 9 for 123, 2 touchdowns, and a really nice 44-yard touchdown all through the middle. I mean, this was all traditional Goochland just taking the hammer and getting after it right between the tackles there. So big game for Massey, big game for that unit. And they had four different guys run for at least, you know, 25 yards. Plus, you got Papalars at 123. I mean, they easily ran for close to 300 yards at the end of the day with, like, eight different dudes. And they're sort of working things out in terms of, you know, who's getting which touches and how many and, you know, who's going to be their bell cow. They had Jasper Carter. That was a pretty nice little toy for them. I mean, just a bruise. It's like running to defensive tackle. It's like having Rick Weaver.
Yeah.
It's having one of those. And so when you're trying to replace that with the guys who are a little more shifty and a little more sort of used to popping it on the outside, it takes a while to find that inside runner. And I think they found it with Populars. And if Massey and this group keep blocking like this, I mean, Goochland could put together another sort of undefeated regular season, something that's become a tradition, back-to-back years doing it. If they did it 3 straight years, that'd be pretty impressive. They got a big one with Central Lunenburg coming up. I know that unit will be fun for them because that's a very physical game, you know, sort of like playing Georgia Tech in the ACC, something you have to prepare for, which everyone has to do for Goochland anyway, so it seems appropriate that big game's coming up this week. But, yeah, kudos to that group up front for really figuring it out in the second half in particular and just wearing dudes down. I mean, they were a really cohesive unit there.
That's a really great start for the Bulldogs. And yeah, Jacob Massey, C&G Road Grader of the Week. We love giving out that award. Always fun to go through and
we like the big
out.
Guys, yeah.
I got to give the linemen some love. Yeah. So, but you flip over Offensive Player of the Week. You know, on a week where only five teams get wins, it's a little tough maybe to find the offense, but you got to give it to Jarrett Hunter out there. Louisa comes back after being a little banged up in week one, and, you know, Jarrett Hunter's not a huge guy, but he's also maybe like maybe we're underrating how big he is. I mean, he doesn't look that big during basketball, but he's a pretty big kid during football.
Really agile.
Yeah.
And he's just sort of an X-factor guy. You know, when they sort of describe a player as sort of athlete at large, that's where you sort of think of Hunter, because he can do things as a quarterback, as a running back, sort of an H-back.
Don't be surprised. I think he threw one in this game. Yeah. Like, don't be surprised if you see Hunter do a lot of different things, but 23 carries, 160 yards.
Yeah.
Really impressive. You know, when they needed him, that's what they need from
him.
And
we talked about, you know, sort of in weekly briefing, keeping an eye on him, that he might be the guy that sort of breaks loose and, hey, it looks like we got lucky. He did us a favor there.
Yeah.
And Shelton had such a great, Caleb Shelton had a great first week, and then you look at his numbers this week with Hunter, 12 for, I think, 124. And, I mean, you're looking at Hunter, 23 for 160, Shelton, 12 for 124. That sounds familiar.
We've seen it before.
That sounds like Bell. That sounds like Waylon. You know, just sort of traditional Louisa, two guys plugging away, and you never know which guy's going to get the 20 carries week to week.
Yeah.
They'll spread the wealth and keep those guys fresh the way they did with, you know, those previous seniors. But, yeah, Hunter, just really explosive. That's a solid 2-0 start for that program there.
Yeah, they're off to a good start. King George coming up this week. That's a big game for them as well. Each game is big when you're playing out there in Louisa County. So, defensive player of the week, to me, this was an easy one. It was from the game that I covered, Orange and Culpepper, Kyrie Carter. Dude, I'm telling you, I didn't realize. I think, like, you know, obviously he had a chance to get a little bit bigger being out all year last year with a knee injury, but he would have been a major difference maker for an Orange team that was pretty darn good last year. He's the kind of guy that could have changed some things. And Jesse Lohr pointed that out after the game, you know, that he was just missed, and maybe that wasn't something we talked about last year or saw last year. But it was very clear what kind of impact this guy could have had as a junior, because he's off and running as a senior. The way that he plays is sort of an outside linebacker role for them, and he stepped up on a third down where Culpepper was threatening in a half where the Orange offense just kind of got way off track, just wasn't producing like they were in that first half. Really had to lean on the defense, and the defense only gave up two touchdowns the whole game. The other two touchdowns for Culpepper's 28 were on a kick return for a touchdown and a interception return for a touchdown. So the defense really held strong for Orange, and you got to really like how he played. And Kyrie Carter stepped up on that third down, stuffed it all by himself. You could hear Jesse Lohr yelling, "It's all you, Biggin. That's all you, Biggin." I mean, it was fantastic. And Carter actually got up and started complaining that he had a cramp, but it didn't matter because he had made the entire play by himself. He took home like two or three lead blockers. It was just a tremendous play.
Yeah, that's the thing. Guys like that, like, it doesn't always show up in the stat sheet. You can be like just this unbelievable difference maker. We talked about a lot last year with Tony Thurston. But, you know, he's chasing guys down, and you just don't, like, the quarterback hurries don't get sort of put in all the time into the stat books. And you see it on film. You see it in the game, but it doesn't translate to paper necessarily. He seems like one of those guys.
Yeah, and Carter's got help, man. He's got Noah Carey. He's got the Hensley kid. He's got over on the other side, they've got a couple of different guys who can make some plays as well. I love that linebacking core. I think
nice secondary too,
playing really well.
And that's a team that's been sort of identity wise always offensive first, because they've just had so many good weapons. And they always do. That's just sort of Orange's MO. But the idea of an Orange team with a solid, strong defense up front, that seems like a pretty cool storyline to keep an eye on.
To get a win on the back of defense at Orange, it just has not happened that often in the last few years.
That's a barn burner kind of program. Yeah. They win games 60-56 kind of thing.
Or they're getting knocked around a little bit, frankly. But if Kyrie Carter is what he looked like on Friday, they're going to be real tough all year. And like I said, impressed with a lot of guys on that defense. They all really stepped up in big way. I think that Orange group is off to a really good start. But that takes us to – let's talk more about that.
Yeah, I think that's the main storyline of the week was Orange winning that game. I mean, you were there. I think we had talked about beforehand what that game was going to mean for that community. I mean, what happened with Carter, the same thing happened last year with Darius Minor. He comes in off an ACL. And has this great, fantastic season. Then you see it with Carter. And then the storyline there is all about, you know, sort of this community grieving over Minor.
Yeah.
The first time these guys getting back on the field, you know, as brothers and getting to play with each other. And that's, sort of the new normal for them. And I mean, what an exhilarating result.
Yeah.
Something for the community to feel good about. Like that program, that community needed that win. To start your season 1-0 like that, and a magical night like that feels so much different than an 0-1.
Yeah, and I think it's cool. They're gonna honor Darius Minor this week when they play Eastern View, because his parents were up at Maine for sort of the ceremony that they had put together to recognize him. And I think that it's cool that they're gonna kind of get a chance to really have that sort of cathartic moment as a community again this week. But you could tell that he was there in everything. Alexander was wearing 1 this year instead of 15 last year. A lot of guys had DM, like Darius's initials, and 1 on the towels that they were wearing. You kind of saw it everywhere, and you could tell too.
And it's not going anywhere. It'll be game to game.
No, I mean, and it's I don't think it's going anywhere probably for a while. I mean, this will mean Darius Minor meant a lot to that school, that program, just tremendous, ever and great kid. And it's interesting to see, community have to grieve and kind of mourn in that way when you're that young.
Sadly, I mean, we've had this happen a few too many times. I mean, Buckingham County just a couple years ago with Tyshawn Perkins and Craig Gill sort of in the same off season. Mm-hmm. Madison County had to do with Caitlin Ayler a couple years ago, and then you look at Craig Jeffers over at William Monroe. We've had way too many kids the tragic deaths in this area, and we've seen the way that sports can sort of bring things together and just sort of help a family, a community, just sort of the school at large. It's just, I don't know, a community gathering like that, the way that Orange did it last week, that's just a really sort of nice thing to see, sort of heartstring kind of thing.
Yeah, and you see these guys, I mean, it's clear how much he meant to them. It's clear that, they want to remember him and they want to honor him with this year. Carter, I believe, said that every game is for Darius at this point. I think that, like you said, it's not going away. It's going to be there for a while, but this is a great chance for them to sort of bond together. And it's clear, the job, I got to give it up for, Jesse Lohr and what that staff has done to kind of keep those kids together and kind of help they've talked about it. They've had the emotions have flown, been out there. They've been dealing with it, and they've been, they've had some tough days.
It's hard enough to win football games without that happening.
Yeah. It's hard enough to win, and it's hard enough to mold men and have them grow up, and you get high school athletes who are in their formative years, and you're trying to help them along, and what that staff has done is just awesome. They've really kept it together, and that group has been awesome, and they played their butts off. You got to give it to them. The way that they played in the first half offensively, they looked like...
Yeah. So how about Walker Johnson there?
Walker Johnson steps into a new role as a starting quarterback. He looked tremendous. The throw that he made to Jariq Washington down the sidelines was a bomb. It was a bomb. He just uncorked it, and it was right on him. Just a tremendous catch, sort of an extension catch. There's no way that Walker was going to let anybody else catch that one. That one was for Jariq. Nobody could have guarded it. There's no way you could have guarded him to make a pick on that. That's just a perfect throw. Perfect throw. He made a couple throws right into traffic, too. Jariq caught another one that was like three dudes kind of all colliding, and then came out with the ball, where he kind of made this leaping catch right at the goal line for the second touchdown. Tremendous play. And Jalen Alexander, man, that guy just answers the bell.
Yeah.
He makes play after play after play. A really impressive effort on his part, again, as usual. And he stepped up defensively, too.
He's a really nice two-way player right now.
Yeah, they used him. It looked like they were using him mostly in the red zone. He was stepping in, and he was kind of stepping into sort of a linebacker role, sort of rover role. And, man, he was tough. He made – didn't make the sack, but he – corralled Culpepper's guy on a key play, and then the cavalry got there. You just got to respect Jalen Alexander as a player. He's just a heck of a football player, the bottom line. And you've got all those guys clicking. You got an offensive line that in the first half in particular was protecting Johnson really well. Like I said, if the offense plays like they did in the first half for two halves, there's not a lot of teams that are going to be able to hang with Orange, to be honest. Now, one of the teams that they is definitely going to be able to hang with Orange is Eastern View this week.
Yeah.
Very tough matchup for them. you know, but if Orange can, you know, play well against Eastern View, heck, even go steal one, which would be very tough to do, but if they figure out a way to do that, then they're off and rolling, and things are happening for them. But even if they, you know, drop one to Eastern View, there's a very good chance this is going to be a darn good year for Orange.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see, like you said, that it's happened on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And just sort of all-around overall unit coming together.
If that defense is good, we know what Orange's offense usually has a lot of pop to it, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think that it speaks to, you know, their it's just really good chemistry that they have, and that leads us into a second, you know, it's, the professionals call that a segue.
Yeah.
But that leads us into, you know, a trend that we're already seeing, teams that are trying to figure out chemistry. And, you know, we got a list that we made here, but three of them are the boarding schools that have maybe the most challenging chemistry job of all, because they have a short time period to put together a lot of new faces and a lot of guys, and there's so much transition and change each year for Fork Union, Blue Ridge, and Woodbury.
Yeah, you were talking with Mike Hoover, Fork Union's coach, after the Goochland game, and sort of, you know, they had a tough game, six turnovers that didn't, you know, help them out there. And it's just hard to win football games that way. But it's also, I mean, there's so much going on there. They're trying to figure out who their guys are. And, you know, they played three different quarterbacks. You had Drew Hackenberg. You had Kenyon Carter. You had Ian McGlamory. And they're going to be doing that. You know, they're going to bring them in and out and, you know, establishing a rhythm while doing that. You know, that's not the easiest thing. You hear people talk about it all the time. You know, you want to sort of be established at those positions. You know, Fuma's got some guys. And they're better than that 38-7 score reflects. And they know that. But like so many of these boarding schools, they've only been in camp together since August 10th, and most of these guys are new to the program. So you're not even bringing back people familiar with the terminology. It's sort of
you're
brand
teaching
new.
From the ground up in a lot of cases.
And so we see this happen all the time with the private schools, where they drop one early. I mean, for Fuma, playing Goochland is just, I mean, that's a tough opponent. I don't know. Last year they played Goochland and Appomattox in two Final Four teams. You know, for a private school, you know, Goochland, you match up sort of student bodies. I mean, that's a tough ask, especially opening up with those guys, given what they come back with.
But Goochland's system is just so particular. It requires a lot.
And they started like age two.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Fork Union, they would love to sort of have that sort of in place, but it's just hard to do as a boarding school. And we're going to see them sort of progress. We saw that last year, and it's just a matter of trying to turn around some of those losses that, you know, one possession games, flipping
those
7 points
the other way. They were in
it with
Collegiate. They were in it with St. Chris. They were in it. And they're just not far off. And they bring back, so Larry Elder's a heck of a player.
Absolutely.
They've got guys who can get the job done. Blue Ridge, on the other hand, goes down, gets stuck. They went down to NSA, got lightninged out. They had to come back and drive all the way back to Suffolk. That is not an easy task. And they hung with him the whole time, took it down to the wire. A pretty good performance against an NSA team that regularly competes for state titles.
Yeah, we're used to seeing these two sort of match up in November.
Yeah.
Sort of a regular deal.
This is a little bit of a product of the transition to eight-man by a lot of teams that were in Blue Ridge's group, so they end up having to take a game like this down there on the road early, and I think that's a big road test, and I think you can take a lot out of that. They scored some points, they did some things right, they made a few mistakes, but this is a heck of a start for Blue Ridge, despite the loss, to go down there and compete with NSA. The guy who coaches them, Mike Beal, when I was growing up in Virginia Beach, was a legend. Guy threw the ball all over the place at Salem, I believe. He was a heck of a high school quarterback. Now he's running the offense, and they got a little hybrid action going, of a spread and a single wing. That's just a tough ask, and it's really tough when, like, you're prepped and ready to go, and then you get down there and you don't get to play. You got to come back, and then you got to go back. And I mean, that's just a lot to ask. So, a great effort by Blue Ridge on the road. Sammy Fort, did some nice things. Xavier Kane did some nice things. I mean,
you have those two in particular. I mean, you're starting off.
Throwing Prophecy Kissmore is a heck of an athlete. They got some guys. They got some players. Look for Blue Ridge to really kind of pick things up when they start. They play on Saturday this week.
Yeah, that might be a rematch down the road. We might see those.
Might see that one again, no question. Woodbury, similar situation, went all the way to Georgetown Prep. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
They don't get a chance to replay that one. Had a rough start in the first quarter of that game that got played, but they were kind of getting back on track. I think they were down 13-3 when Lightning hit. I'm a big fan of some of the guys they've got going. DeQuise Carter, we know how much we love that guy. He's as good a receiver as there is in
the
area.
And we're both really looking forward to what Ben Locklear looks like in this offense.
Dude, Ben Locklear is going to be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is a big, strong quarterback. I think he got off to a rough start. There was a fumbled snap right at the beginning of that first quarter, but he was starting to get into a groove. So Locklear is going to be a lot of fun to watch. You got DeQuise Carter. It's going to be fun to see the names that stand out for Woodbury, but in a similar situation, chemistry-wise, they've got a lot of new faces, a lot of guys stepping in.
And we've seen Georgetown Prep before. I sort of got a preface to let everybody know that that is not just like a prep school football team. That's like playing a PG squad.
Dude, they got I think they get to have like 3 or 4 PG kids. They're sweet.
Yeah.
They're really good. They bring in like 4. Like, they're like, we need a running back. They go get a running back. Like, I mean, Georgetown Prep has the right guys. It's a great academic school, but it's also a school that like goes out and gets some guys. They are very tough. Year in and year out, they've got players. Fork Union can tell you.
Yeah.
Georgetown Prep ain't anything to mess with. So, Woodbury is going to have some work to do. They're going to keep getting better. This just happens with the boarding schools, is that it always has this sort of liftoff, and then about midseason, you start to really get an idea of who they're going to be.
Yeah.
A team that is right now searching for an identity a little bit is Albemarle. And part of that really is just kind of centered around the fact that this schedule is so difficult. Every year they start out with this very difficult schedule. And I think that that's, we were talking about it. Like, people are going to say, like, hey, what's wrong with Albemarle?
Yeah, Albemarle is sort of an opportunity to lull people to sleep here before they start out. And, their first 4 opponents, you break it down, Mountain View, Colonial Forge, Patrick Henry, and then Louisa. Thankfully they get them at home after playing them twice on the road there. They get a little break.
Very challenging start. I mean, Colonial Forge, again, it's sort of like Georgetown Prep. Like, people locally may not have any conception of just how good Colonial Forge is.
Colonial Forge is one of the best football teams, period, in the state. Not like, one of the best, Gooch is one of the best class 2A.
No,
this is like best overall.
Yeah, I mean, Colonial Forge is just fantastic. This is a very tough ask. For a team that's fitting in so many new parts, and for a while early they hung.
Yeah.
They got to be happy with that. That's a good step in the right direction, and maybe they've gotten the ship right. Mountain View loss was probably much more frustrating, especially after beating them last year. But again, they got punched in the mouth right out of the gate with a kick return for a touchdown. It is tough to regain momentum on the road when you give up a kick return for a touchdown. That's a challenge. But Albemarle is going to find this stuff. Brent Isaiah and his staff do too good of a job not to kind of get this thing figured out. And they got pieces, man. They got Eric Taylor. They got DeQuandre. They've got, Makai Washington. They've got, John Barber. They've got guys who can play. They've got Marquand Jones. Like, these guys are going to come along. You wait and see it. I think that, like, even if they're sitting at, like, 1-4 or 1-3 at the end of this 4-game stretch, I'm still thinking that Albemarle's a pretty good football team.
Yeah, and I think you have to take the scoreboard watching lightly in the first couple weeks, because, I mean, just, how bad was it kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know necessarily sort of the mentality. 45-7 can be misleading at times. I mean, it's not Colonial Forge. I played them, that's that. But, you got to sort of, if you're Albemarle, weather this storm.
Mm-hmm.
It's awfully ugly up front, but it's something that can be manageable, because, I mean, they're going to jump into the same sort of group of JD teams that are all trying to figure things out. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we've got a whole bunch of teams working on that same chemistry. They just might have sort of a .500 record to work with right now. But Charlottesville's another one sitting there at 0-2 that started out with some tough opponents. So Albemarle's not alone in this department.
Yeah, no question about it. One team that did look like they've got the chemistry clicking is our boys over at Covenant. Rick Weaver and the Sankers, Luke Sorensen emerging as a quarterback. They've got a little bit of groove going right now over there at Covenant. 62 points. First 8-man game between two varsity teams from this area. The 8-man game is going to be more high scoring. There's going to be numbers. There's a lot of open space.
There's going to be like rule changes, weight sort of weight limits for Wick Reaver at running back. And that's too large of a human being. You can't have him.
I think Weaver, what did he have, over 100-something on just like 6 touches? I mean, Wick Reaver is a heck of an athlete. The way he moves at his size.
Watching
a
offensive tackle slash defensive tackle play running back is the greatest.
It's fun.
It's really fun.
And that's the thing, man, is that's a great opportunity for him that's been over at Covenant. There's a lot of schools that would have turned Rick Weaver into a defensive tackle or a defensive end, and that's what he would have played, and we wouldn't have got to enjoy the Rick Weaver as running back situation, and he had a couple of runs that were just kind of classic Rick Weaver runs. So fun to see, though. They're obviously clicking a little bit. Luke Sorensen, his emergence.
That was a big revelation for them.
Yep. Huge for them. So the eight-man stuff, we're going to be keeping tabs on that all year. But a really good start for Covenant in that game. And they'll be, you know, they play Kinston Forest, one of the original eight-man schools, this Saturday. So another big game for Covenant coming up. And Stab, yeah, they're sitting at 0-2, but, you know, it's very tough to contain Rick Weaver. They went on the road all the way down to Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, and hung for a long time with Faith Christian. Stab is another team that at 0-2 is probably quite a bit better than that record. So we'll see. They run behind that Will Edelson all the time. They got Imani Woods rolling. They get Gabe Decker going. They're going to be in pretty good shape as they kind of move through that eight-man series. So that kind of gives you a good idea of what's going on right now. A lot of teams that we're still – the jury's still out on, and a lot of teams that just haven't had a chance to play yet, like Woodbury. So
to play a full game.
They're just trying to get a game in, guys. So we appreciate you listening, and we look forward to checking in with you next week.